Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
We're California dreaming, dude.
Yes, we are.
We are living the high life. Royalty is coming to town, and I'm not talking about the royal wedding, dude.
No, not at all.
I am talking about King Dustin Brown and his little peons, the Kings, dude.
And unfortunately, Justin Williams as well, which we'll get to in a minute, but we have other topics to take care of in this, the first podcast of the postseason, or you can say the first podcast after the regular season, and we'll talk about playoffs, we'll talk about the LA series, we'll talk about coaches getting fired, we'll talk about emails. But dude, I want to do a season wrap-up here.
Okay.
I got a season wrap-up. You know what I did today?
What'd you do? Did you?
I went back.
Did you actually plan for the show?
I did. I went back to the archives, and I listened to...
You listened?
I listened. I listed and listened.
Yeah.
To... the immortal Dudes on Hockey episode 118, where we did what?
We predicted the playoff teams. Why do I have a feeling you're bringing this up? Because you did better than I did.
You never know, dude.
You wouldn't have brought it up if I had done better.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to see.
Okay.
Well, I just want to do a quick recap of who we picked, and I'm not going to go over every preseason pick because... you can go back and listen to Dudes on Hockey 118 if you want to hear our preseason picks.
Right.
But there were several teams I want to touch on that we were way wrong on. Number one, of course, being Mike's awesome pick of Ottawa winning the division, the Northeast. That was a great pick. You picked Ottawa second, dude, so you're not blameless here. All right. Let's look at... So I had...
I don't think I had Ottawa in the playoffs, did I?
Yes, you did.
Playoffs?
You did, indeed.
Damn it.
So we'll touch... So Ottawa, I gave myself 4 points because I was 4 places off. 0 means you picked it perfectly. So,
oh, okay.
So
I like
you,
this.
So you were 3 points off on Ottawa. Let's look at some other terrible picks. We both picked Nashville to finish last in the Central. Wait,
when are we going to learn?
Never.
We're never going to learn. That they somehow always manage to. They're winning 4-0 right now.
Gosh.
as we record the podcast.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Dude, you want to guess which division we did the best at overall?
How about the Atlantic?
No. Because I picked New Jersey. We both picked New Jersey to be playoff teams. So that kind of killed the quality of our Atlantic picks.
Okay.
The best division we had was the Southeast.
Really?
Yes. Washington. We both had the exact same picks. Washington, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, and Florida. And only Carolina and Atlanta were swapped. So we got 3 out of 5 perfect on that division.
Nice.
Okay.
Have you ever almost thrown up in your mouth? Did you hear that just happen?
What?
I would like the listeners to back up. Let's see if they can hear the gurgle that just happened.
From what?
I don't know.
What you just?
I just had Chipotle before I came over here. Might have been that.
That was your first mistake.
Carnitas. Special Carnitas filled podcast. Keep going, dude.
All right. You picked Colorado to finish second.
Where'd you pick them?
I picked them third.
Okay.
So I was off by one. I picked Minnesota to finish last. So that was my bad pick. You picked Anaheim to finish last in the Pacific.
They are still last in my heart.
But I want to get to the most important part of this segment. Well, there's 2 important parts. The first part is we made a bet and I completely forgot about it. Do you remember what the bet is?
No.
We bet... this is ridiculous. This is like the dumbest, like most ridiculous, uninteresting bet ever. We bet each other who would finish ahead, Minnesota or Calgary. Do you remember this? We bet a 6-pack of beer on who would finish ahead. You were so sure it was Minnesota. And guess what? It was Calgary.
What, if you can't remember the bet, does that mean it's not valid?
No, it means it's still valid.
Do you have recording on tape of this bet?
You're going to have to listen to episode 118. Not again. Pull the clip.
Like the Bonds trial, I will ask for the evidence.
Oh, please. Okay, I'll pull it for next week.
I believe you.
You're a sore loser. Anyway,
no, I believe you. I'll pay up.
I do. Okay, cool. But I do want to get to the final results, adding up all the points, where the lower number of points is the better number.
Right.
My point total was 31.
Okay.
Your point total?
31.
30.
Oh, I win!
You win.
Dude, I would like to thank my parents. I'd like to thank the listeners. And most of all, I would like to thank Todd Richards for allowing me the pleasure of buying you a six-pack of your choice.
Yeah. You're actually right on with Minnesota. They finished third in the division. You picked them third. But they did finish behind Calgary, so you owe me beer.
Okay.
Hey, sweet. All right. I think that wraps up the regular season, dude. Because I don't know if we really want to talk about the final regular season games. We'd rather talk about the Kings series and all the postseason matchups that have already begun and
Agreed.
Other news in the NHL. So shall we attack the Kings at this point?
Sure. Let's talk about Sharks Kings. That's what everyone wants to hear.
Well,
and then if you get tired, you can turn it off and skip the rest.
That's right. Think how easy that would be.
Oh, it's only 6 minutes in.
Yeah, we're perfect. Well, I think we can all agree that the Kings draw was probably the best we could have hoped for. It got really close. It was at the point where if Chicago made it to overtime, we would probably face Chicago if they ended up losing. And it was 4-3 late in that game, and Detroit held on.
Well, that's exactly what would have happened, actually. Yeah. If I I'm thinking right. Mm-hmm. If Chicago had lost in overtime,
we'd be playing Chicago.
We'd be playing Chicago right now.
Yeah.
So, dude, in terms of the teams, the lower seeds, this was the matchup that, in the end, I wanted.
Yeah.
I think you wanted this matchup.
Absolutely.
After we saw the Sharks kind of pick the Kings apart last week.
Mm-hmm.
At home, you know, the Kings looked a little listless. This was the best possible draw, at least in my mind. I know we got an email that sort of begs to differ with that.
Maybe we should go to that now.
Let's go for it.
Okay. So this is, I believe, Jim from Section 202. Many are praising the heavens for the first round gift. The consensus is with the loss of Kopitar and Williams, this series should be a cakewalk. I wouldn't bet the farm on that one. Playoffs are generally a defensive affair, and that's exactly what the Kings give. They rank sixth in the league in goals against and fourth in penalty kill. They also have two quality goaltenders that have 9 shutouts combined. So, am I in despair at the thought of playing such a defensive juggernaut? Hell no. The Sharks can drop these guys in 4 or 5. If they play to their abilities and put out maximum effort, they can dump the Kings quickly and rest up for round 2. If they take them lightly, it could go 7 games. Kings are wounded but not dead and need to be taken seriously. Anyway.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think...
if you listen to these podcasts earlier in the season, you would hear us say that we did not like the Kings matchup at all. And the only reason I like the Kings matchup now is because Justin Williams is going to be coming back from a major shoulder injury, from what I understand, which isn't a good thing to suffer if you're playing hockey. And their best player, Anze Kopitar, is not playing at all. So that's the difference between me liking the Kings and me not liking the Kings at all. So it's not that I think that... it is a dream series from that regard. It's better than Chicago. I hope no one will disagree with that.
It's a different situation. Someone was asking me for a comparison, dude, and I don't know if this is a good enough comparison, but I'm going to go for it. Someone said, well, why does it affect the Kings so much that Kopitar is not playing? So, well, if you go back 4 years to the Sharks team and you take Joe Thornton off that team.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing.
Right.
I mean, now you've got the guy who makes basically everything happen, 73 points in 75 games for Kopitar, and you just pull him out, and then the next guy has 57 points.
Right.
You know, that's a huge drop off. They've got, 4 other guys who've got 20 plus goals, and that's admirable. Congratulations. And they have some good defenders, some good young defensemen. In Jack Johnson and Drew Doughty, Jack Johnson and his 42 points, but also a minus 21. And, the word on Johnson is the second half of the season, he didn't have a good second half at all.
Mm-hmm.
His scoring really cooled off, and, he piled up some major minuses. And these guys are throwing out some young players that we don't really know who they are. And, That trade for Dustin Penner hasn't exactly looked to be fairly paying the dividends that they expected. Dustin Penner, 6 points in 19 games as a King, dude.
Yeah, but he does have 23 goals in the season. So the Kings do have fairly balanced scoring. They have five other players with 20 or more goals. That would be Williams, Brown, Smith, Penner, and Stoll. So that's a pretty balanced offensive lineup. So that's something that actually matches up pretty well with the Sharks, I would think, because of the Sharks' depth. The one thing we were a little scared of the Ducks is because that top line seems so unstoppable, except for tonight when Nashville is kicking the crap out of them. But you know, that on a normal night, that would be a pretty difficult matchup for any team, especially one with a, you know, a really potent offensive line. So offensive first line. So yeah, I mean, this is not going to be, Jim, I agree with you, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. I think if the Sharks play their cards right and they take the matchup seriously, as you said, which I, of course they're going to, they know how snake bit they've been in the playoffs. I can't imagine the Sharks looking to take a round off, you know, considering how awesome they had to play in the last 3 months in order to even get here. I think if the Sharks figure out the right way to play these guys, it could be a pretty short series. I mean, I guess I'll take my preview. A lot of people are picking the Sharks in five. I'm no different. I'm picking the Sharks in five games.
I look at this as very similar to the times we've played Nashville in the first round. Mm-hmm. I think it's extremely similar. If Kopitar was here, I think the series goes longer. The Kings and Preds at this point are basically very comparable. Good goaltending, good mm-hmm. D, some middle tier forwards who can score 20 goals. They could steal a game from you. I expect fully that they're going to play a really dull, pack them in defensive mm-hmm. style. Try and block everything. Try not to take penalties
mm-hmm.
and try and beat the Sharks 1-0. I mean, I think that's what they're going to try and do. And it could make for a pretty dull series. I mean, we saw this last year with Colorado.
Right.
I mean, they had some early success. Dude, so when you look back at that, if the Sharks lose tomorrow night, is the panic button going to be pushed? If they lose a 1-0 game tomorrow?
No. I mean, you can't push the button after a single game. I'd like to think the Sharks and their fan base is a little bit more seasoned than that. We saw what happened against Colorado last year. We were down 2-1. Everybody was freaking out. We performed the famous exorcism, and the Sharks came back and won. So I mean, not to say that those two things are related, because obviously they are. So,
of course they are. And we saw, you know, the Sharks lost that first game last year 2-1 against the Avs.
And Anderson played out of his mind.
And you look at the games the Avs won, they won 2-1 and they won 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Dan Boyle. So
that was a deflection. Get the record straight.
So you see how the formula was for a lesser team to beat the Sharks. I fully expect the Kings are going to try that same tactic. We'll see what happens, dude. I'm picking Sharks in five. I think the Kings will beat us in game three in LA,
mm-hmm.
and then that will be the end of that.
I hope so. In other news, Jim has a postscript here. Can you believe Dallas absolutely choked away their playoff ticket? Good one by Staubbe. I assume he's referring to the goal by Brad Staubitz in the final game of the season.
Let's send him a fruit basket.
Yeah, we should.
Something. Does Brad Staubitz eat fruit?
I would hope.
I could see him being like Mongo from Blazing Saddles, just sitting around a fire eating beans. There's Brad Staubitz. No fruit.
Do we have a demographic that's younger than 60? So no more Blazing Saddles references.
Please put something on Twitter or something if you understand the Blazing Saddles reference. Come on. Why do I always get the warped ones?
But is Dallas, was that a minor choke job or a major choke job?
That's
by
a
Dallas?
Huge choke job.
I think so too.
That's a huge choke job. But they've been choking away for a while. I mean, you see the big steamer they laid against the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had every opportunity to take this playoff spot away from Chicago, and they blew it. And Joe Newendyk responded by firing the coach today. Unacceptable. You're leading the Pacific. You're dominating the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just completely fell apart.
Right.
And Mark Crawford fired again. Good job. It's your third team. I guess the man...
No, it's got to be more than that, right?
Well, he's coached, let's see, Colorado, LA, yeah. and Dallas.
Vancouver? Wasn't he coaching Vancouver?
Yes.
I think he was.
I don't know. Four teams. Will someone give him a fifth? Hello, Florida.
Yeah. You never know. Can he go for five? I think five he gets a set of stakes.
Should we look at the other Western Conference Series games here, dude?
Yeah, let's do that. Or would you rather talk about the coaches that got fired?
I'd rather talk about the games.
Okay.
Save the coaches, the losers for the end.
Okay, cool.
So let's start at the top with the Vancouver Canucks getting a special gift in the Chicago Blackhawks. Right now, tonight, it's working out in Vancouver's favor. 2-0. The game is over. They beat Chicago at home, getting out ahead of a little. Talk about exercising a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think about this series and who's going to win it?
I hope I know that some people took advantage and someone set up a pick'em pool on NHL.com. I think that was our friend Tom, which you did not take part in, dude, because you're lazy and I don't know what else, but
okay,
at least lazy.
I'll accept that.
Okay. So I pick Vancouver over. I'm just going to reveal my picks. Not that it really matters. I can't imagine that being a competitive advantage for anybody. But anyway, I picked Vancouver over Chicago in six games. As much as I would like to think that Chicago can beat Vancouver, I think you'd have to be kind of an idiot to pick Chicago to win the series unless you're really feeling frisky about it. Vancouver is just clearly a superior team. The fact that Chicago couldn't beat Detroit on the last day of the season when Detroit had literally nothing to play for, I think says something pretty important about the Hawks, and I guess Vancouver's win tonight cements that in. I think Vancouver should beat Chicago. I said six games because Chicago can steal a game or two with their stars, but could be shorter. Who knows? I mean, if Vancouver starts rolling, you don't want to get in their way.
I think it's going to go seven. I think Vancouver is going to end up winning, but I do think it's going to go seven. I think if Chicago wins the next game,
mm-hmm.
then Vancouver is going to be on edge a little bit going into Chicago. That place is going to be rowdy as hell. I could see this being a 2-2 series after four. And then, you know, Luongo's going to start crying again. And, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That's the best possible, you know, well, you know, I don't know. We want to get rid of Vancouver, right? But,
mm-hmm.
You know, if they take them to the brink,
that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, you want to wear them out. You definitely want to wear them out. But a good start for the Canucks tonight, and they should beat the Blackhawks.
Yes,
they should. Six at the very least.
But you're right; they're going to be a little itchy about it. They're going to be a little on edge. That whole city, obviously a very hockey mad city, very into the Canucks. They know as well as anybody that they've lost 2 years in a row to the Canucks. This is the third year straight they're playing them. They lose again. People are really going to start jumping off.
Yeah, tonight was an important win for them, really, to start on the right foot. Let's move to the 3-6 matchup. Our favorite Detroit Red Wings. Pavel Datsyuk is a sissy. And the Phoenix Coyotes are playing. Detroit wins game one tonight in Detroit 4-2. What mm-hmm. is your take on this one?
I picked an upset here because I felt like going out on a bit of a limb. I'm not exactly sure when Zetterberg's supposed to be back. I know that really hurts Detroit quite a lot. Datsyuk was just unstoppable tonight. It was impossible to stop him. He was stick handling in traffic as he always does. He went one thing. He went along the goal line. He pulled the puck in between his legs and like put his stick in between his legs so he could get the right angle on net. It was just like an unbelievable skill play. I mean, the guy is just ridiculous. I was hoping Phoenix would put up a little bit better of a fight. It disheartened me in my pick tonight because they seemed to take almost a whole period off in the game. Like, they came out and they scored early in the first, Phoenix did. And I thought, wow, this is going to be cool. This is the kind of thing that you want Phoenix to do. And then they can sort of grind it out and maybe get another goal because they got some guys. They can get scoring sort of from anywhere. And then Detroit tied the game and went up 2-1 pretty quickly. And then Phoenix kind of wilted a bit. And that's shaking my confidence in my pick here. I got to be honest with you, because Phoenix doesn't seem like a team that has any quit. And they quit a little bit in that game. They came back a little bit near the end and they scored the second goal and they looked okay. But still, Detroit extended the lead. So I'm a little scared about that pick, but I decided to go for the upset because I think Phoenix could really hurt you. And Detroit without Zetterberg is not the same as we've seen the past few years.
I could be a man of low integrity right now and change my pick based on what happened tonight, but I won't. I would also have taken Phoenix in seven, and I think it's because of, you know, how the Coyotes seem to frustrate the Wings. They give him a lot of problems. They gave him a lot of problems last year. Mm-hmm. And I just have a feeling that that is going to continue. You don't normally see Phoenix play two bad games back-to-back.
Right.
So I would expect that they're going to come out and give Detroit real problems. And I think the fact that Zetterberg is banged up definitely influenced my pick there as well. So the fact that Phoenix dropped the first game tonight doesn't shake my confidence completely, but the fact that they did maybe check out mentally a little bit and let the Red Wings kind of run away with it in the end is not a great sign.
Right.
Let's look at the last series in the West, dude. The Predators beat the they are winning 4-0 as we speak in Anaheim. A bit of a shocking first game score.
The first time Nashville scored four goals all year.
In their existence. I'm so tired of people saying the Predators are one of the best run franchises in the NHL.
It does kind of bug me too.
I'm tired of it. Why?
How? Barry Trotz should win coach of the year. I heard somebody say that.
Best coach with no neck?
Well, that goes without saying.
Bruce Boudreau might disagree.
Mm.
I don't know. Most likely to look like a villain in Rocky and Bullwinkle, mm-hmm. Barry Trotz. If you add a mustache, he looks like Boris.
Yeah.
He really does.
That's a good call. Another nice dated reference, dude.
Maybe
good for you.
David Poyle is Natasha.
Boris. Are you going to start singing David Foster songs?
I could.
You could. I know you could.
If you have any a keyboard, I'll play Randy Newman for you.
Oh, even better.
Short piece.
So... Dude, so I have Atlanta over. Anaheim over Nashville.
I would have picked the same thing.
I
had in six just because the Predators they won that season series and they seem to have given Anaheim a lot of problems, and clearly tonight they shut them down.
Yeah, they're beating them bad.
Maybe Suter and Weber can shut down that top line.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've talked about this. You eliminate those guys from the equation. You don't take any penalties. The Ducks are extremely beatable.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've got Dan Ellis in goal, their third choice. So maybe it won't be too shocking to see the Preds win this series. So I'm going to stick, though, also with my pick of Ducks in six. Dude, looks like we've got a couple of losers on our hands.
Yes, we might.
Shall we switch to the Eastern Conference? Let's start at the top, the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers.
New York Rangers, yeah. I watched a good piece of that game. I watched the entire overtime. Washington looked pretty good. Mike Green, I think it was his first game back, so he didn't look like the dominant Mike Green we've seen the past couple of years, but that's to be expected. He just came back. Semin, I think, scored the overtime winner, which was a pretty awesome goal. Good goaltending from Washington. I think that's sort of traditionally been one of their Achilles heels, and Michael Neuver is playing pretty well. So I have Washington over New York in six games. I think Lundqvist can always steal at least one game and possibly two in any series, and I think that could easily happen. I just don't see the Rangers having the horses. They got a bunch of young D, and I can't see them consistently performing well against the high-powered offense of Washington. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think this is Caps in five. Caps in five for me. I think they're going to run away with this one. Maybe, you know, New York is going to steal a game at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might steal game four, and then the Caps will close it out. Caps in five. I think this series is actually going to be pretty uninteresting.
Mm-hmm.
How about the two Philly against the seven Buffalo Sabres?
Even though Philly's been a little up and down here lately, and they were leading the East for a good part of the season and then sort of fell out, I still have Philly winning this series. I know you didn't even pick Buffalo to make the playoffs this year. That was one of your... And I finally caught the pendulum the right time and picked Buffalo to make the playoffs. Buffalo's got the same team they've always had. So, Philly's got... With Pronger in the lineup, they have the best defense in the National Hockey League. With Pronger out, they're not quite there. So I think Pronger's still out at this point. So that's why I say it's going to take six games for Philly to beat Buffalo.
You know who the hottest team in the NHL is?
Who?
The Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
8-1-1 in their last 10.
Hmm.
And if I were the Flyers with half a healthy Chris Pronger, I'd be pretty worried right now. Not that Buffalo is a better team. They're not. But this could be a situation. I mean, this could be a Montreal situation from
right.
last year
mm-hmm.
where a team ends up playing way over their head and they get hot and they have a goaltender. When Ryan Miller is good, he can be one of the best in the world. And the series concerns me for the Flyers. You know, I think it might take so much out of them that it could prevent them from having another long run because Buffalo is going to give them problems. I'm not a Sabres fan at all, but I'm going to say this is going to go 7, mainly because the Flyers are going to find ways to make it difficult. So
right.
I'm taking Flyers in 7.
All right, that's a good pick. I think Danny Briere is a playoff clutch player. I think he's going to find a way to carry this team. And JVR's been playing better. They got some good young guys. I like everything about this team. Goaltending, obviously, has always been a major question mark. Question mark last year, although they managed to get to the Cup Finals with Michael Layton and Brian Boucher. I guess they're playing Boucher now as basically the starter, or is it still Bobrovsky?
I think it's Bobo.
Okay. SpongeBob?
I call him Bobo.
So let's go to the 3-6. That's Boston and Montreal. This is, to me, the marquee matchup in the East. I mean, after the Pacioretty hit by Zdeno Chara, literally breaking Pacioretty's neck, this series has been a historical bloodbath. Boston and Montreal have always been foes back to the early days of the NHL, so there's a lot of history there. Plus, the recent brouhaha makes it even better. So this is going to be a nasty series. It's going to be awesome to watch. I'm not going to want to miss any of these games. For me, it's about one player in this series, and that player is Tim Thomas.
I always thought you were going to say Hal Gill.
Well, he would be the second player. But yeah,
was that too obscure?
No. Unless he was in a movie in the 50s. This is all about Tim Thomas.
Yeah.
I think he has the best save percentage in the modern era or something. It's ridiculous. If he plays well, they win. I think he's going to play well. I think they're going to win. It's just that simple.
I think this series is going to end up being overhyped. I think Boston remembers what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boston is going to crush them. It's going to be over in 5.
Really? I have a 7-game series. I think this is going to be fun.
All right. Well, we'll end up seeing who is right or wrong. Since I'm normally wrong, we'll end up watching 7 games over there. I just have a feeling Boston is going to want some retribution for last year's embarrassment. So they're going to take them out, dude.
All right. That's a good one. Last one, Tampa Bay-Pittsburgh. That's the 4-5. This is a tough series to call for me. Pittsburgh, without Crosby and Malkin, managed to still gather the number. They still managed to be second in a pretty difficult division. And they're still playing pretty well. They've been playing pretty well all season, even without, you know, two of their top two stars by far and the best player in the league. So,
I mean, they actually tied Philly for the second seed.
Yeah.
And it went down to regulation wins.
It went down to the wire.
So it comes down to, do you believe that the Pens can win a playoff series without their two best players?
I picked another upset here. I picked Tampa Bay here. I'm not sure why, now that I'm thinking about it. Well, knowing the outcome of tonight's game, that I think Pittsburgh won
3-0.
3-0, yeah.
Well,
so
Flurry 3 and Tampa Bay nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, like he was outstanding tonight. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. I also took Tampa Bay in this series in 6, dude, I'll be honest. And some of our picks are not looking so great, but you know, game one doesn't a series make. So
true.
I just think Tampa has another goalie in Dwayne Rolison who is capable of stealing games.
You know,
the guy, we've seen it happen, although it was a couple years ago. He still has the ability to do that, and they've got more talent in terms of scoring talent. Le Cavalier was hot at the end of the season. I think if they can get out of Pittsburgh split, then they're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take that. I'm just hoping not to be embarrassed by this pick now because it looked like Pittsburgh just beat the crap out of them.
It's one game. It's one game.
I know, but still, it makes me nervous.
So if I am correct, we are predicting We didn't seem to differ on who's going to win these series. So it would go in the second round in the East. We're saying it's going to be Washington and Tampa. And then it will be the Flyers versus Boston, which would be must-see TV.
That'd be fun.
As well. And if we're picking the West correctly, we both picked Vancouver. We both picked San Jose. We both took Phoenix.
Yeah.
And we both took the Ducks.
Right.
So if it plays out according to that way, it would be Canucks, Phoenix, Ducks, San Jose.
Yeah.
Another California series in the second round, and that would be pretty exciting. That would be a series that I think would have a lot of bad blood in it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, so
I'm looking back at Dwayne Rollison. I think we forgot that he also, I think he played in the Cup Finals with Edmonton, too.
He did, yeah.
So he took a team, and they were a low seed that year, too. He took them all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And he was part of that playoff tandem, I think, when the Wild last made the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. You know,
it was him and Manny Fernandez.
I remember Manny Fernandez.
Too obscure?
No way, dude. Good call, though.
Anyways, Rollison, I mean, he was the goalie for the Oilers when they knocked us out.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Tough guy, tough character, good goalie, and he's about 64. Right. So he'll be retiring soon. I hope Social Security is still around for
this
him.
This might be his last hurrah.
Could be, dude. Could be.
All right, dude. I guess the last topic of discussion is the coaches that got fired. I got to give you props. You called Todd Richards, which I didn't see coming, and I think you called Mark Crawford as well.
I did.
Which I didn't really see coming because
Do I still owe you that beer?
Yes, you do.
Why am I good at calling the stuff that doesn't matter?
Well, you got to call the stuff and then bet on the stuff that you call. Okay. That's the problem.
All right.
Well, I picked Dallas to finish last in the Pacific this year. So the fact that they only missed the playoffs by like 1 or 2 points, I think is actually a fairly decent testament to Mark Crawford. As much as I'm not a big Mark Crawford fan, I'm a little surprised he got... I guess Dallas management had higher hopes for them. But I mean, 4 out of the 5 teams in the Pacific made... the playoffs. I don't know why you'd make the coach take the fall for that.
I think that they were making the judgment based on how the team regressed completely. You know, halfway through the season, they completely fell apart. From what I read today, the players do not like Mark Crawford. And, you know, it could come down to very simple business, dude, where, season's over. Joe Nieuwendyk takes Brad Richards out for dinner, and he says, "Look, if you want any shot of keeping me, Crawford's out of here."
Yeah, that's a good point.
Me and the boys do not like him,
mm-hmm.
and that could be the end of that. I'm not saying that happened. That's right. Just me role playing.
Right.
So, but that was the reports, that I read, that the players just felt like, and the way the way they played in some of those games, he had lost the team, but he was also dealing with some low-level NHL talent in some of this, some of his roster spots. It's not like Dallas is the most talented team, and they totally fell apart. But I just had a feeling that Crawford might not. He only lasted for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Well, that's what Richards lasted, right?
Yeah, Richards lasted 2 seasons, too. I don't think Todd Richards got a fair shot.
I don't think so, either.
I really don't. That team also... The GM, Fletcher should be fired too then. I mean, what has he done?
Right.
Who's he brought in to help that team?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Well, he brought in Havlat, didn't he?
And he brought in Havlat.
And Cam Barker.
Okay, brought in Havlat. He brought in Cam Barker. Are there any other Blackhawks he'd like? I mean,
yeah, it's true.
So he's got, a few good players. He's got a good goalie. But, I mean, what's the last homegrown Minnesota Wild player draft pick besides Mikko Koivu, and maybe he wasn't even a Minnesota pick, I don't remember,
yeah,
that has turned out to be an impact player on that team? Can you name one?
Cal Clutterbuck.
Okay, that's one. Good,
yeah.
Good job, dude.
Thanks, dude.
All the other players are guys that,
Brent Burns?
Zidlicky. Burns.
No, Zidlicky came from Nashville.
I know, I'm saying Zidlicky, trade. Zanin, trade. He's basically plucked players off of different... He's got a couple Nashville players and a couple...
Yeah.
I like that guy, I'll take him.
Yeah.
They're almost capped out, and they're not that good.
Right.
So, I guess it's Todd Richards' fault.
I think he got a raw deal, too.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Mark Crawford will be there next year, and...
Yeah, they're just going to switch places.
I'm just not sure, you know, what do they think the identity of that team is? You know, Richards trying to bring a little San Jose Sharks style to that team, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, back
doesn't
in,
exactly have the talent to support it.
Right.
They didn't make, I mean, they're not making any trades.
No.
They're not making any deals. Talk about, I mean, we think Doug Wilson's overvaluing his players.
I mean, yeah.
Cliff Fletcher, you're going to make a deal? You're going to stick with the same deck of cards you've had for 4 years and tinker it a little bit? I wonder if Kevin Klein's available for your trade.
Maybe Vernon Fiddler.
You're going to pick a Vernon Fiddler. This is going to change everything. Matt Hunwick.
All right, Peter DeBoer out in Florida. Big surprise. No.
That was not Dale Talon's guy.
No.
You know, he inherited Pete DeBoer. If they didn't make the playoffs, Pete DeBoer was toast. He's toast. Is there any name that you expect to see? I mean, talk about a roster that is a shambles.
Right.
I mean, Florida.
Jeez. Yeah, they're really in trouble.
Who's going to want that job? Really?
Anybody. I mean,
anyone?
Sure.
Anybody. Would you coach the Florida Panthers?
Well, I don't know anything about coaching, so I don't really want to set myself up for just like obvious public ridicule. If I knew something about coaching, I might do it.
I mean,
get paid $2 million and coach an NHL team? Yeah, why not? I'd give it a shot.
Maybe I would intentionally be awful so that I could get the money and get out.
Yeah, exactly. Get out. Just take it.
Yeah, that's not that surprising.
And Corey Kluston's no big surprise either. I mean, we both picked Ottawa to make the playoffs, and they were like the worst team in the East.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad Brian Murray got extended. He sure deserves it.
Yeah, that's a really good call for him.
Gosh. You know, another team that, I mean,
yeah.
What direction are they going in?
I have no idea.
Because he's done such a great job, Brian Murray. And he couldn't find a way to keep Chara.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing I guess he did was not sign Wade Redden to that contract.
Right.
He trades for Chichu and Mahalik. Right. That's been great.
Mahalik's not bad for the Senators, but he's not Mahalik, Danny Heatley good.
If we wanted to do an evaluation, and maybe we'll take the time to do it over the summer, I'd be curious to see if Mahalik is maybe in one of the top 20 most overpaid players. For what he's worth.
Probably.
I mean, making almost $5 million and he can't produce more than high 30s in points.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Yeah. Dude, I want to end on a completely different note. Okay. We got an email from Gabe.
Gabe.
This is a very important question.
Okay.
Earlier today, I was going through my closet giving away my old shirts. I found a free giveaway shirt from the 2005-06 playoffs. If I'm not mistaken, which I may have been from the game when the Sharks killed the full 5-on-3. That was the Edmonton series. Is it too big on me? It's too big on me, says 2005-2006 playoffs on it, and I never wear it. I've always thought of Sharks gear as a lifetime commitment. Whether it's given to me or I buy it, I will keep it until it disintegrates. I feel as though this shirt may fall outside that category. What's the call? Do I give it away? See, this is important, dude. We shouldn't have talked about the playoffs so much.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
If it was from the game where the Sharks killed a full 5-on-3,
mm-hmm.
even with two broken sticks, you have that shirt framed, you have it signed.
Right.
And you keep it forever.
I believe in a repurposing. So I think you don't have to throw it away. You don't have to wear it until it disintegrates. I think you can repurpose it for something.
What else could you use it for?
Like you said, you could frame it. You could make it into some sort of patch or something.
A patch?
Why not? I have no idea. What sort of
homeless clothing line are you offering?
Well, isn't that like the whole like hip thing now? You like gotta.
Does
like,
Gabe, do you have any pets?
Yeah. Ooh.
How about turning it into like a pet snuggie? Or like, how about get a bunch of shirts
mm-hmm.
and make like a big flag?
Yeah.
Of shark shirts.
Or you can like make it into a pillow. I was just reading a story about a guy who like used old concert t-shirts, made pillows out of them.
It made pillows out of them.
Yeah, I'm not nearly that crafty, but that, you know, if you're
crafty.
What
about all those Elton John shirts that are laying down here in the office?
Well, those are going to be framed, obviously. Anyway.
Gabe, keep it, right?
Keep that one, especially if it gives the date. I used to have a couple of those shirts that says, this is Sharks playoff territory, and you know, it's like the cheapest possible shirt. It doesn't have the year on it. And it just, you know, you wash it twice and it's faded. You can barely read it. I have to admit I've ditched a couple of those shirts because there's not really anything that special about them, but I definitely have my "Whose Side Are You On" t-shirt.
Oh, I wear that's a regular.
I'm keeping staple. That one. That's in the rotation.
I got to tell you, speaking of t-shirts, we're going to end on this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy at work, ended up out in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
He texts me last week. He's sitting behind the glass at the Worcester Sharks game.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's got a picture of Taylor Doherty standing on the bench. Like, that's awesome. You know, okay, it's the first person I know to talk to that went to a Worcester Sharks game. He said it was a lot of fun. He said it was a lot like a San Jose Giants game.
Cool.
So the fans were really excited. Come back on my desk, Worcester Sharks t-shirt.
Nice.
Brought one back, dude.
Sweet, dude. Is it the W logo? Or is it just like the Sharks logo?
It's the old Sharks logo, mm-hmm. and then it says Worcester Sharks. So it's the little things. I will never throw that shirt away, Gabe. I will diaper my children in it before I will throw it away.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you believe in cloth diapers, there you go.
There you go.
Can you start selling sports-themed diapers?
Yes.
I would definitely have my children wear a Ducks diaper so that they can go number two.
So they could poop on it.
On Corey Perry.
What's a Ducks shirt for? For me to poop on. All right, dude. I think that's the end of the show.
All right.
Look forward to seeing the Sharks play on Thursday and Saturday. And, of course, we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll probably do... I don't know. We'll have to have a talk.
Yeah.
We usually do podcasts a little more frequently.
Sometimes
we do. Now we're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll be back before.
Next Wednesday.
Well,
so, we'll see. Stay tuned.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.